Our scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1. And if you are willing and able, would you stand with me and we'll reverence the reading of God's word together. When the day of Pentecost came, they, which is the disciples, were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" But some made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." And then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And the sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone, Joel says, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's God's word for his church this morning. Have a seat. Well, following on from where we were over Lent, it seemed appropriate really to step forward along with the story into the book of Acts. And so with a couple of breaks over the rest of the year, Acts is really where we're going to be spending the bulk of our time. Here in this, which is Luke's sequel, really, to his story of the life of Jesus, addressed as that story was to Theophilus, or a friend of God. And in that sense, what he writes here is addressed to us, who are friends of God sitting here this morning. He writes to us of these remarkable events which follow Jesus' departure into heaven. And in some ways, what we've just read, it really sort of sets the tone for everything that's to come in this story. Because although Acts is all about people, it's all about the formation of the first ever church, Acts, before all those things, is actually first and foremost about God. It's about what God is doing, about his amazing work in drawing now not just an isolated people, but an entire world back into relationship with him once again. And that all begins here in Acts 2. The disciples are together there in Jerusalem. It's Pentecost festival time, which is a harvest festival where Jews from across the ancient world came into Jerusalem to celebrate together. What was it that Jesus said? The harvest is plentiful. And Jesus' disciples are there and they're waiting. And he's told them that when the time is right, that the Spirit of God, the same Spirit which was present there at the dawn of creation, bringing order out of chaos, the same Spirit which fills Jesus and empowers him for a miraculous ministry, is going to fall on them and empower them as well. And suddenly, we read, a sound like the roaring of a violent wind, which we all know a little bit about living in this part of the world. This roaring kind of whistling noise fills the room. And something which looks like fire descends on all of them. We might be reminded perhaps of the prophetic imagery of Ezekiel 37 with the valley of dry bones, as the bones are brought back to life by the wind, which is the Spirit of God being breathed out upon them. We might be reminded of the fire which went ahead of God's people in the book of Exodus, reminding them of his presence and the promise of a new life and a hopeful future. God is here, Acts is telling us. The Spirit is here. Jesus' promises are coming to pass. And as they are filled with the Spirit, so they begin speaking in other languages, literal other languages there. The languages of all the people who've come from across the ancient world into Jerusalem. I like to imagine them kind of just ecstatically beginning to shout to each other in these new tongues that they can suddenly speak, just overwhelmed with joy and with the sense of God's Spirit filling them and empowering them. And the commotion of them there together in this space draws a crowd who are all wondering at this kind of exuberant celebration and praise of God that's going on in their own languages, coming from the lips of Galileans, no less, who were considered to be something of kind of like the hillbillies of that time and space. There's intrigue there, and then someone in the crowd suggests that perhaps they're all just drunk. And it's then that Peter stands up. And unless we've been kind of following the backstory of things closely, we might miss the significance of the moment as he does, because this is a man who has been transformed. This young fisherman from backwater Galilee, who went on the journey of a lifetime with Jesus, who was there for all the teaching, who witnessed all the miracles, who even walked on water himself for a few steps at one point, who thinks that he has a handle on Jesus until Jesus is taken away to be killed. And then Peter turns his back on Jesus. He's too scared to even say that he knows the guy. But Jesus knew that it would happen like that. And he comes back and he's alive. He's been resurrected. And he gives Peter a second chance. And he says to Peter, through you, I'm going to build my new community. Through you, I'm going to build the church. And so now, Peter, filled with Holy Spirit power, he stands up in the city that only weeks earlier had crucified his Jesus. And where he had once hidden in the shadows and fear of his life, now he starts to speak on behalf of everyone else. And where he starts, it isn't exactly on a strong front foot, it must be said. We're not drunk, says Peter, it's only 9 a.m. Which would be the kind of thing that someone who was drunk at 9 a.m. would possibly say to try and excuse themselves. But then suddenly Peter is preaching, and he takes the crowd back to the Old Testament prophet Joel. These words which were spoken something like 500 years before this day, about a time when God's Spirit would be poured out, not just on special people, not just on important people, not just on prophets and leaders and kings, but on all people, on sons and daughters, and old and young, on slave and free. The young will be filled with wisdom and prophesy, Joel says, just as Peter is doing here and now. The old will be rejuvenated and they will dream again, Joel says. There'll be wonders displayed in heaven and on earth. There'll be blood and fire and smoke, sun to darkness, moon to blood, Joel writes, which are kind of these apocalyptic metaphors for social and political upheaval. And then will come the great and dreadful day of the Lord, when God will come and sit in final judgment on the earth, and all things that are wrong will be put to rights once and for all. And what this kind of newly emboldened Peter is saying here and now is that what Joel was saying is happening right here and now. That Scripture is being fulfilled here and now in the hearing of all those who are gathered, right there in front of them. That now is the time in which Joel says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And from there, Peter, he springboards to Jesus, and the gospel is preached publicly for the first time ever. And this massively diverse crowd who are gathered from all the corners of the ancient world, they become the first respondents to the message of the Jesus who was dead but is now alive, who is raised in power to the right hand of God and whose spirit is now poured out upon his people. And in response to this message, 3,000 people are baptized. There is a bountiful harvest at the harvest festival. The spirit falls and the church is born in a single moment. This is one of those kind of pebble into the pond kind of times, or rather, maybe it's one of those, you know, when you get the biggest rock next to the river and you chuck it in to try and make the biggest splash. Maybe it's just a guy thing, but it's what we do. But that's what seems to be happening here, because what is happening as the Spirit falls is propelled unstoppably outwards like a wave, and the pattern will be the same from here on out, propelled by the Spirit which God unleashes on his people through Peter and the others there with them that day, through the young and the old, the seemingly insignificant and the high rollers. All of these people will become inheritors of the vision of Joel. The young will be blessed with God-given wisdom beyond their years. The old will break out of their shells and they will dream again. This movement will bring social and political upheaval, and the world will never be the same. That is the story of the book of Acts. It's the story of the kingdom of God, which Jesus preached and says was here and now, because he was here and now. And most importantly for us sitting here this morning, it's our story as well. Because the ripples, or rather the waves of that Pentecost moment have spread all the way here to us in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And here we are this morning as inheritors of it. It's not Pentecost Sunday on the church calendar today. That's in about a month or so. But we're reminded again this morning of the inescapable, relentless momentum of this movement of which we're a part. It's not something that's been built by human hands, rather by the Spirit of God, the Spirit on who there are no constraints, there are no boundaries, there are no physical limitations, no considerations of social propriety, no rules, no lines saying who's in and who's out. God will do what he will do. He will use who he will use, and no one or anything can stand in his way. We're reminded again this morning that the primary movement of God's Spirit is in the fulfillment of the mission of God, that it's about drawing people from here, there, and everywhere back into relationship with him once again. It's about taking ordinary, unspectacular people, people like Peter, people like me, people like you, and empowering us to live anything other than ordinary and unspectacular lives. I know I've said it before up here, but the real miracle of the Spirit, the real sign of his power, it isn't so much in tongues or prophecies or those kinds of things being spoken out and worked out here, although it is in that. It's not so much in the moments where Sam's voice and his guitar just mesh perfectly and the volume gets snuck up by Hayden just a little bit and we're all kind of elevated to that extra level of worship, although it is in that sometimes too. No, the Spirit's power, it's revealed to us through people like you and me, who step out into this world which screams at us to live for anything other than Jesus, to live for fame or money or the wayward expectations of our families, to live safe and comfortable existences, to find our value in things apart from him, and in our success and our power and our appearance, to be independent, to be strong on our own, to rely on our own provision. All the things that our world tells us to buy into. No, the Spirit's power is revealed when we step out into all of that and say no. When we step out into all of that and we start to pray those dangerous Jesus' prayers, the not my will, but yours be done kind of prayers. It's the Peter moment when the unlikely become the chosen of God. And you hear the stories here. You hear the stories here. I hear the stories here of that. It's the young person at Easter camp feeling the eyes of the room upon them, but unable to escape that sense that God is calling them to their knees at the front of the room. It's the lady who should be retired, who hears the whispers of the Spirit to purchase houses for refugees with money she doesn't have. It's the evangelist, a little bit wild in appearance perhaps, on the street corner speaking Jesus-shaped words and praying Jesus prayers over all who walk past. It's the Jesus-hearted mum taking time out of her schedule to start chaplaincy at a local school. It's the student at Massey putting in the hard yards on a degree which can lead to a lucrative career, but seeing instead at the end of it a way to serve the least and the last. It's the lady who hears the whispers of the gospel in this conversation around the representation of tangata whenua in our electorate and steps into action. It's the Jesus-hearted business owner starting an initiative to make sure that children in needy areas of our city have lunch in their tummies at school every day so that they can thrive. It's a people mobilized for the mission of God as we are, empowered by that Spirit to see the sacred calling of the pathways of our week stretching ahead of us, where we go to put to use all of those different languages, all of those unique gifts which God has given us to enable us to go into classrooms and offices, to workplaces and to homes, to our families, to our friends, and be understood, that the message of Jesus will be heard everywhere we go, all to be part of that inescapable momentum, that work of God, the mission of God in our world. Church, the breath of God is here to breathe life into dry bones once again. The fire of God is here to remind us that he walks ahead of us. The Spirit of the risen Christ is here, and none can stand in his way.